Even if COVID-19 dominated the news pages this week, there were many other stories in the EDP. There were, for example, real crimes, scams and false alarms. Residents in Norwich Flats have called for new measures to drive out crime and antisocial behaviour. 11 burglaries in a month in Norfolk and Suffolk may be linked. 7 dogs and 7 puppies were stolen from a Norfolk breeder. An elderly couple in Binham were conned out of £12,000 in a courier fraud. But investigations into a suspected criminal attempt to turn a Great Yarmouth pond bright green were eventually dropped when the criminal was found to be algae. Birds and animals featured in several articles. It has emerged that all sorts of exotic animals are privately owned in East Anglia. A Thorpe St Andrew family were astonished to encounter a wild pig, and a colony of sand martins has returned to the North Norfolk coast. Other major stories included the ending of Aviva's sponsorship of Norwich City Football Club, a proposed doubling of production of low-alcohol beer by local brewer Adnams, and the bankruptcy of a Hunstanton building firm. Jane will start us off with the first of the crime, or in one case, non-crime stories.
Residents plagued by drug dealers and users have called for new security measures to drive out crime and antisocial behaviour. People living in flats at Gordon Square and Goldwell Road say drug dealing and crime has become intolerable, with some reporting non-residents openly using drugs outside their homes after gaining access. A petition signed by 50 residents of the council-owned flats was presented to Norwich City Council's Cabinet Committee, calling for the installation of new security door systems to keep people out. The appeal has been backed by the police, who say they've seen increasing levels of crime and antisocial behaviour. Inspector Mike Austin, local policing commander, said, "It's clear from the information that we have had drug dealing and some use, and they've been prevalent in these areas, impacting on the safety and well-being of the residents. The main reason that it's become attractive for drug dealing and drug use is the ease of access into the communal areas." Local ward councillor Ian Stuteley, who's been working with residents, said antisocial behaviour, drug dealing and discarded needles and drug paraphernalia in areas where children play had become common. He said many had been too fearful to report criminal activity, and this was symptomatic of a situation that's become entirely normalised, he said. "The prevalence of drug dealing and drug use is intolerable, and it's an issue in our community. People say drug use and county lines dealers target this area because there's easy access and multiple escape routes." He said, "People congregate day and night to use and deal drugs on stairwells and landings, and families are living in fear." Councillor Gare Harris, Cabinet Member for Social Housing, said, "We are very aware of the high importance of the safety and security of our residents, and in particular, the contribution that the installation of a lobby entry control system can bring."
Police officers warned the public to stay vigilant after a spate of burglaries, which they believe may be linked. 11 burglaries, which took place between Thursday, April the 2nd and Tuesday, May the 5th, are currently being investigated by officers from both Norfolk and Suffolk constabularies. The police describe all 11 crimes as similar, as they all occurred in the Bungay area, or A143 corridor, with sheds and outbuildings storing gardening equipment repeatedly targeted. Officers from both forces are now asking the public to review their security on outbuildings and sheds, ensuring that their property is clearly marked with a postcode or other distinguishing feature where possible. Their warning follows the most recently reported burglary, which took place in the early hours of Monday, May 4th, when thousands of pounds worth of gardening and sports equipment was stolen from the Bungay and District Sports Association, BDSA. On Monday morning, 4 mowers, including a ride-on mower worth more than £3,000, were stolen from the BDSA, who share equipment for the town's football, cricket and tennis clubs. On the same night, thieves allegedly attempted to break into the Bungay Caxton Football Club and the Bungay Black Dog Running Club. BDSA Director Stuart Smith called the break-in disappointing and needless, especially in the current situation. He added, "It is a financial hit too. Some of the equipment will be difficult to replace, and it has stopped our preparation for the potential season ahead." We think the crime was organised, as nobody could have moved all of the equipment without planning it. It would have taken 4 men to move the weight of all the kit, as wheels were immobilised. A spokesman for Norfolk Constabulary said Norfolk and Suffolk Constabularies are investigating a number of similar crimes within the Bungay A143 corridor area, spanning across the two counties, that we believe may be linked.
14 dogs, including 7 puppies, have been stolen from a Norfolk breeder. Thieves broke into the kennels at Just Dogs in Upwell near Downham Market. They stole Cocker Spaniels and Cockapoos, and none of the puppies were old enough to leave their mothers. 2 men broke into the back of the building on New Road, wearing hoodies to cover their faces in the early hours of the morning. Owner Justine Watt said they'd struck while her 2 German Shepherd guard dogs were away for training. "It was someone who knows us, or they've been staking us out," she said. "They knew what they were doing. It sickens me through to my stomach. There are such evil people out there." Miss Watts was woken up by one of the dogs roaming around outside her bungalow, and she believes it had managed to escape from the thieves. She said, "Then we discovered what had happened. The dogs are our lives. We live, eat and breathe these animals. Now I have to tell their new families, who are so looking forward to becoming dog owners, that this has happened. It's awful. Please, I'm urging anyone with information to please come forward."
An elderly couple were conned out of £12,000 in a courier fraud in North Norfolk. The couple, who live in Binham, received a phone call on Monday, May 4th, where the caller, who claimed to be a police officer from a fraud investigation team, coerced them into withdrawing £5,000 from their bank. The cash was later collected from the address by a courier. The couple were later encouraged to withdraw a further £7,000 on Wednesday, May 6th. The same courier attended the address to collect the cash. A second incident was reported when a Fakenham man in his 80s received a telephone call from a man also claiming to be a police officer. The caller told the victim that his bank details had been obtained by someone in London and that he should immediately call 999. The victim, who then believed he had been put through to the police, was told to withdraw a large quantity of money from the bank. The victim was told to keep his phone off the hook until he returned with the cash. The man then raised concerns, and the scammer hung up. Police are now calling on residents to remain vigilant following the scams. A spokesman said that courier fraud happens when a fraudster contacts the victim by phone, claiming to be a police officer, bank, or from a government department, among other agencies. A number of techniques will then be adopted in order to convince the victim to hand over their bank details or cash, which may then be passed on to a courier. Residents are reminded that neither banks nor the police would ever ask people to withdraw money or purchase items.
A family was surprised to find what seems to be a feral pig during their lockdown exercise on the edge of Norwich. Claire Pye and her children were enjoying their walk in Thorpe St Andrew when they spotted the strange swine. The small, hairy, dark-coloured pig appeared to be loose and not contained in a field. Experts believe the pig might be an abandoned pet and are concerned for its welfare. Mrs. Pye, who lives off Yarmouth Road in Thorpe St Andrew, said her children Charlie and Katie had been surprised to see the little pig during Wednesday's walk. She said, "We were out going for our walk and went right down Bungalow Lane through the train gates, and about 100 yards on the left was this little pig munching away. There was another family walking behind us and they said they'd seen it there before and that it often appears, but we've been walking down there for the past couple of years and we'd never seen it. There's a field there behind where it was, but it didn't seem to be contained at all. It didn't mind us being there and eventually snorted a couple of times and wandered off." Mrs. Pye, who works as a personal assistant at Marine Power in Brundle, took photographs and a video of the animal. She said, "It was fascinating to see it up that close. It's not what you'd expect to see near a river when you're walking in Thorpe St Andrew."
While many of us will have spent lockdown gripped and baffled by the antics of Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin in the hit Netflix documentary Tiger King, some East Anglian residents boast unusual creatures of their own. While thousands of families in the county will have cats, dogs and fish for pets, some have been far more diverse in their choice of animal companions, with one private property holding more than 100 beasts. A Freedom of Information Act request has revealed just some of the exotic animals that are living in households in our region, including ring-tailed lemurs, camels, and zebra. Local authorities require owners of certain animals to apply for licenses to keep them, which are renewed on a yearly basis under the Dangerous Wild Animals Act. Generally, these animals will be wild cats, primates, wild dogs, certain pigs, and marsupials, but dozens of other animals are included within the Act. Among the licenses held in the authorities that have responded to request is a private property in Southwold and Cobham Ward of the Great Yarmouth Borough, at which ring-tailed lemurs are kept. One private property in the King's Lynn area, however, has a much broader selection of animals. King's Lynn and West Norfolk Council currently has two active licences, one covering 20 black buck antelope, and a second covering more than 100 animals. This licence covers 50 black buck antelope, 20 other antelopes, 20 lechwe antelope, 6 bongo antelope, 4 tapirs, 10 oryx, 10 blesbok antelope, 10 waterbuck, 10 eland, 10 wildebeest, and 10 zebra. In North Norfolk, the owners of one property hold a licence which allows them to keep camels and tapir. In the Buxton Ward of Broadland, one dangerous wild animal licence is currently active, with the site currently homing 3 ostrich, 1 male and 2 females, and 1 wild boar. In previous years, it has also been revealed that clouded leopards were kept in the Breckland area. However, the council has yet to respond to the latest request to confirm this was still the case. The only local authority in the area to not have a single active DWA licence is Norwich City Council.
A relationship between two of the most prominent names in the city spanning more than a decade is due to come to an end this summer. However, bosses at Aviva, which is severing its ties with Norwich City Football Club after a 12-year association, have insisted it's not a symbolic move when it comes to its even longer association with our fine city. The relationship began around the same time that the insurance giant dropped the Norwich Union name, with the Aviva name emblazoned across the club's shirt for several years thereafter. And while the firm relinquished its role as the club's main shirt sponsor in June 2017, it carried on working alongside the club as a community partner, which saw it support the club in its charity work and sponsor part of the Carrow Road Stadium. This summer, though, that relationship is coming to an end, with a contract between the two parties due to expire and not be renewed, a development the club's chief operating officer, Ben Kensel, described as disappointing. However, bosses at the former Norwich Union, which remains one of the largest employers in the city, have insisted the end of the relationship is nothing more than a contract ending and the right time to move on. Lindsay Ricks, Chief Executive Officer for UK Savings and Retirement at Aviva, said, "Aviva has enjoyed a mutually successful partnership with Norwich City Football Club, and the most recent deal as community partner has been no different. We are proud of what the partnership has achieved and wish the club all the best for their future."
A colony of sand martins has made a welcome return to Norfolk. The birds fly more than 5,000 miles each spring to roost in spots, including the cliffs on the North Norfolk coast. Jonathan Sweetman photographed some of the birds building a new nesting site on the cliffs at Walcott. Mr. Sweetman, who lives in the village, said, "Where they are building is on part of the cliff that collapsed last winter. Sand martins bore tunnels up to a metre in length, and they lay their eggs on collected straw and feathers in a chamber at the end. There was an outcry around this time last year when North Norfolk District Council put up netting over a mile-long stretch of cliffs in the area to stop the sand martins using the holes there. This was because of fears they would be at risk of works, part of a £21 million sandscaping project, but the council was forced to remove part of the netting so the sand martins could return to their holes."
The directors of a building firm which collapsed owing £1.7 million have already set up another company under an almost identical name, sparking anger from creditors. Bespoke Norfolk Limited, based in Hunstanton, went into liquidation at the start of May, with the directors, Ben Day and Stuart Dedman, blaming the impact of coronavirus. A document drawn up by the company's liquidator, McTeer Williams and Wood, has now revealed that once its 30 staff members have been paid, the construction firm has assets of just £10,000 left to cover £1.679 million of debt owed to more than 100 creditors. The creditors range from small local firms to the taxman. The biggest creditor is HMRC, which is owed £387,000 for the 2019-20 tax year. Other large creditors include plant hire firms, construction suppliers and finance companies. On April the 20th, 11 days before the company was put into liquidation, Mr. Day and Mr. Dedman became the directors and owners of a different company, which then changed its name this Sunday to Bespoke Norfolk Group Limited. It's based on Campbell's Business Park in King's Lynn and lists its activity as property. A creditor who did not wish to be named said they were concerned that this was an attempt to carry on under the Bespoke Norfolk name. The process of folding a company and then reopening a new one, which continues its work, is known as phoenixing. Phoenixing is legal, but the Insolvency Service said anyone who is a director of a company which goes into liquidation cannot then manage another business with the same or similar name for 5 years, although there are some exceptions.
Southwold brewer Adnams could double production of its famous Ghost Ship drink by 2022, meaning low-alcohol beer could make up 15% of its production. Ghost Ship, 0.5%, currently makes up 7% of what the firm makes. But Fergus Fitzgerald, Adnams' head brewer, said that after it started making the drink in June 2018, we knew there was going to be a market, but we didn't anticipate it growing as quickly as it did. It has become the firm's fourth best-selling beer and received widespread critical acclaim. It's just kept growing, really, said Mr. Fitzgerald. We expanded the kit that we put in 2019 because the sales had just gone way ahead of where we thought we'd be at that time. On the current projections, we'll still need to expand the kit again next year. It might well get to 15% in 2022, Mr. Fitzgerald added. There are a lot of reasons why this type of beer is popular. Some people are more concerned with their lifestyle and they're trying to cut down on their alcohol content. People found that it just tastes like a normal beer, so you can get the enjoyment of the flavour and the experience of having a beer without having the after effects. It's won a couple of gold medals and a few silvers here and there, but the sales are really what drives it at the moment. It's obviously changed in the past few weeks, but up until 2 months ago, the beer we got emailed about most often was the Ghost Ship 0.5%, because people were just delighted to be able to find a low-alcohol beer that still tasted like beer.